The scripture reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 12, and we will also read the from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question 103, page 52 in the back of our blue psalters. That's the command, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The scripture then is Isaiah chapter 12. Listen to the word of the Lord. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. That's the psalm. It's like a psalm in the middle of Isaiah, Isaiah 12, a wonderful passage. It really speaks about what has to happen on the Lord's day. That's the connection. It is the day of the Lord where we draw water from the wells of salvation. Now from Lord's Day 38, question 103, dealing with the fourth commandment. What is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? Which is, of course, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained. And that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through His Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. So far, the reading of the Word of God and also the teaching and the confession of the Church on that wonderful subject. Before we open these truths of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray for Your wisdom, illumination, and understanding as we look at this very important subject. Lord, bless us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a very special day. It's called a feast day. The Catechism calls it a festive day of rest. The Lord's Day is a blessing. It is a blessing. I think sometimes when children are young or teenagers, they don't look at Sunday as a blessing. They sometimes look at it as a burden. And they can't do this and they can't do that and it's not a pleasant day. And that's sad because it is a pleasant day. It is a festive day. It's a very important day. It's a wonderful day. And it's not to be looked against. It's to be anticipated. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord's Day is truly a gift from God. Do you know that in communism, one of the things that the Soviet Union wanted to do was to try and eliminate the Sunday. They realized there had to be a day off, but they didn't want it to be Sunday. Because they also knew the same thing that the great atheist Voltaire knew, that if you eliminate the Sunday, you're going to eliminate or you're going to severely damage the church. But it didn't work. The Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. It is a day which we need. Not only do we need it, creation needs it. There's got to be a time of refreshment. There's got to be a time of rest. Everything needs rest at certain points in a regular pattern. And Sunday is a day of rest for us. It's a wonderful blessing. The Scripture teaches that there are four phases to the Sabbath. Four phases. The first phase is we can call the creation Sabbath. And it came right after God finished the work of creation. And God rested on the seventh day. And He looked over, God in His infinite wisdom looked over everything that He had made and found great delight in what He had made. And God's rest, His seventh day, was a time of joy as God looked over His whole creation and at man, His creation, His created image. He looked over everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. It met the very need for which God made it. It fulfilled the purpose He had in mind. And He looked over all creation, and it was very good. And God rested, and He delighted in His day. That's the Sabbath, the creation Sabbath. But the second phase we can call the shadow Sabbath. The shadow Sabbath. That was because of sin. Man, of course, fell into sin. It was a horrible thing. It was tragic. It was rebellion against God. And man was driven out of the garden. And a curse came upon all of creation. It was awful. All kinds of bad things happened. And God was not pleased. And you know the story of how Israel was His delight. They were in Egypt and in slavery and bondage. And God led them out of Egypt. And He led them to the promised land. And that is the second phase of the Sabbath. You read about that in the book of Joshua, in the book of Hebrews with Joshua. He led them to rest. Going across the Jordan into the promised land, there they were. The whole land was divided up and there was a time of peace. But it didn't last. It was peace. Everyone was in their own place and it was good. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it was wonderful. And there was Sabbath rest for the people of God. That was a shadow of the things to come. But it didn't last at all because the book of Judges begins that there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. So everything fell apart in the days of the judges and in the days of the kings. It was very sad. Well, then we go forward to the time of Jesus Christ. Then we have the resurrection Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the great Son of God, the great Son of David. He fulfilled the law. He kept the commandments. He was a delight unto His Father. God Himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus gave His life on Calvary's cross and He rose again. And on this day of resurrection, there was a new Sabbath. It's very interesting to see the scheduling of the Lord. It's not just that it happened on the Friday that Jesus died. That is the sixth day of the week. The sixth day is the day of man. The sixth day is the day that man was made. 666 is the number of man. And it was the culmination of all of man's sin. Jesus on the sixth day paid for it all. He paid for it all upon the cross. And on the seventh day, Jesus rested in the tomb. There he lay. It was a day of rest, and Jesus, the Old Testament Sabbath was the seventh day, and Jesus rested in the tomb on the seventh day. But on the first day of the week, he arose and inaugurated a new period, a new era. It was world changing. The resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything. No longer was it the old way. It is altogether become new. A new phase entered into the life of the world by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was the day that the Lord made. Sin was paid for. You notice that on the creation Sabbath, it was after God had said He finished the work of creation. Then there was the day of rest. On the Good Friday, John 19, verse 30, you read these words, and he shouted with a loud voice, "It is finished." That's the second time in the history of God's dealing with people that the word finished is used. It is finished, says Jesus. And after it was finished, there was a new day of rest, a new day dawned on that Sunday morning when Jesus arose. The work of redemption was finished. And now a new phase enters. Jesus arose. Incidentally, did you ever think of this? That Adam was made on the sixth day. That's when he began to exist. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul on the sixth day. What was Adam's first full day? His first day after he was made, the first day was the Sabbath. It was seven from God's counting, but it was number one from man's counting. Isn't that right? Man was made on the sixth day. That's when he was made. So, animals and finally man. So the first day that the first sunrise that he saw, the first day was God's Saturday, but it was man's first day. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man got that back. Today is the first day of the week, Sunday. And ever since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, ever since that, the church has gathered on the first day of the week to celebrate the glorious victory that we have over sin and death. And that is exactly what Isaiah 12 is talking about. He says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me. And your anger with me was poured out upon your son. He was beaten with many stripes. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that was upon us was put upon Him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. Though you were angry with me, that anger was put on Jesus Christ. Your anger has turned away. And you have comforted me. Do you know why God's anger was turned away? We're going to see that next Sunday. The bread which is broken is a picture of His body that was torn apart because of our sin. And the cup is a picture of His blood that was poured out because of our sin. The soul that sinneth it must die. And though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away because Jesus took it upon Himself. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That sting of death was put into Jesus Christ. Though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Do you know that comfort? We come to church because He has comforted us. We come to church on the Lord's Day because this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that He rose again. A new day has dawned. That's a marvelous comfort. That's a marvelous truth that there's a new day. You know, you as moms and dads, you've got a message of joy to your children. You can say to them, you know what? No matter what the news of the world is, no matter if it looks dark or whether it doesn't, we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that there's a purpose for life. We know that God loves us. We know that He cares for us. And that He will provide everything we need. He gives us moms and dads who love us. He gives us food. He gives us clothing. He gives us everything that we need. He embraces us in His love and He draws us to Himself. All of that is because His anger has turned away and He comforts us because Jesus took it for us. And that new day dawned when Jesus arose. That's the resurrection Sabbath. We're in that right now. And that's why it's so important to remember the Sabbath day. It's the day of festive worship. We come together to praise the Lord who gives us salvation. And then the last Sabbath is the eternal Sabbath. And we're coming to that. Henry Moulder is there right now. Do you know what you read? Like I said, God finished the work of creation and then rested. Jesus said it is finished and then rose again and we have the new day of rest. And in Revelation chapter 17, verse 16, you read, it is done. It is done. History is finished. It has come to a conclusion. And we have the glorious, glorious new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. And Isaiah 11 talks about that, and he says the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed like the bear. The young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The infant will play at the hole of a cobra. And the young child shall put his hand into the viper's nest. They will not harm or destroy at all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That day is coming. That's the eternal Sabbath. And so every Sunday looks back at creation, at the resurrection, at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it all happened. And it looks forward to the great day when Jesus will come again and we will celebrate forever the Sabbath of the Lord. That's the eternal Sabbath. All right, so how should we deal with the Sabbath? How should we do it? Parents have got a responsibility to determine that. You talk about it. How shall we observe the Sabbath day? And every family has to talk about this. You've got to talk about it. You've got to make sure that you understand completely what this day is all about. This day, says the Bible, is holy to the Lord. That is the controlling word. It is holy to, this is a holy day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, first of all, keeping it holy, says our catechism, and it's absolutely right on target, that I regularly attend the assembly of God's people. That is the priority number one on the Lord's Day, is to come to the assembly of God's people. If we're able. Of course, if a person is sick and cannot, then that's different. But if you are able, you have to come to the house of God. You have to have to work that out as a family. Make sure that you come to the house of God faithfully. It's very important. And the church has set aside 9:30 in the morning and 6 o'clock at night as the time of worship. And this is absolutely the schedule for every family. This is what the Sabbath day is all about. It's coming together to worship. Now that's very, very important. One of the things that happens in a society and in a culture when that is not done, life becomes secular, worldly, careless. It becomes unholy. It is absolutely essential for us to be anchored down to the glorious privilege of worship. That's our duty. But it's more than our duty. It's our joy. That's what this text says. With joy let us draw water from the wells of salvation. You see, the wells of salvation are the Word of God. This is the well of salvation. Jesus himself is the well of salvation, and this word is the well of salvation. You know the difference between a well and a cistern? A cistern is just a reservoir. A cistern doesn't have a source of water. A cistern is just a container or a hole in the ground or a hole that's got cement around it as a receptacle, as a reservoir for rainwater or runoff water. That's not what the church is called. The church and Jesus is called the well. With joy let us draw water out of the wells of salvation. And this word is the well. Christ is the well. God is the well. It never runs dry. Never runs dry. And so the preaching of the word is to open up the word of God so that we can be fed, that we can be nourished, that our thirst can be quenched by the powerful word of God, which is the water of life. Now there's a reason why the Lord uses the concept and the metaphor of water. With joy let us draw water out of the wells of salvation. What's the significance of water? Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know the poem by Samuel Coleridge, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner? We had to learn it when I was in school. And I think you know this phrase. Well, it's a story about a ship that was unable to move in the middle of the ocean. And they had killed an albatross as a bird in order to eat it. And that was a very bad omen for them. And this is how that poem goes. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Our tongues were withered at the root, and were so dry, it was as if they were filled with soot. Water is the absolute core of life. Where there is no water, the people perish. Where there is no water, the crops will famish, will wither and dry and die. Water is so important. And so water gives life. Not only does water give life, water gives cleansing. And so we clean ourselves, not with oil or not with tomato juice. We clean ourselves with water. And so those two things, life-giving and cleansing, those are the two things that God brings to us. Jesus is the source of life. In fact, He says, I am the water of life. He said in John 4 to the woman of Samaria, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would ask Him for the water of life. And she said, oh, sir, give me that water so that I won't have to come here and draw anymore. Jesus says, I am the water of life. He that drinketh of me shall never thirst again. He is the water of life. He's the well of living water, and we come to church to hear His word. He also with His blood cleanses us from sin. So He does exactly what water does. That's why water is such a beautiful symbol. And so with joy let us draw water out out of the wells of salvation. That's what Sunday is all about. And the whole day has to be organized so that we do not miss the house of God. That is absolutely essential. Now, the fourth commandment has a ceremonial aspect to it and a moral aspect to it. The ceremonial aspect to the fourth commandment is that it is called the seventh day. That's Saturday. And that is ceremonial. When Jesus came, that seventh day passed into the first day through His resurrection. So that was a ceremonial aspect. There was also a ceremonial aspect to the Sabbath and all of the regulations. All of the regulations. And the Pharisees tried to hold Jesus to all those regulations. Like when Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath day, and many of His miracles were on the Sabbath day, by the way. Many of them. And that just riled the Pharisees because they had in their mind a very, very strict, legalistic understanding of the Sabbath day. And so when the paralytic who was let down by his four friends on the Sabbath day and Jesus healed him and said, "Pick up your bed and walk," the Pharisees were furious that he carried his bed on the Lord on the Sabbath day. And on, all kinds of things. Jesus said to this man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched out his hand and it was healed. But it was the Sabbath day, and so the Pharisees were all bent out of shape that he had broken the Sabbath day. Jesus said, "Now listen. If your ox or your donkey fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you pull it out? How much more is this man with his withered hand healed on the Sabbath day?" Isn't that what the Sabbath is for? The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so that was a very legalistic view of the Pharisees. Jesus didn't have anything to do with that. But Jesus was very, very clear on the fact that we are not to miss the worship of His name. Every Sabbath, which was His custom, He went to the synagogue. That was His custom. That's got to be our custom. Our custom. There's not a debate. Shall we go to church tonight or shall we not? No. There was not even a question. Of course we go to church. Of course we do. This is the Lord's day. It's the day of the Lord. Now each family, you got to work this out. You got to work this out in a dairying community. They had arranged the milking schedule of their cows so that they could get to church. You got to work out the areas of your life so that they fit into a faithful observance of the Lord's day. And we got to be careful in this. It's not like any other day. It's a unique day. We put away our tools. We put away our daily work. And we lay it aside so that we can devote it to the worship of the Lord and to the things which the Lord wants us to do. And so you got to work it out. The church wisely has not laid down all kinds of rules and regulations. You may do this, may do that, may do this, may do that. No. You have been given, as a child of God, you've been given the discerning of the Holy Spirit so that you, looking at the Word of God with a conscience that is sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that you make sure that the day is celebrated in the way that is honoring to the Lord and beneficial to you. So that's the Lord's Day. And with joy we are to draw water from the wells of salvation. The menu of the Lord's Day is laid out in the Heidelberg Catechism. Beautiful. That I learn what God's Word teaches. So the menu is the preaching of the gospel, the sacraments, prayer, and the bringing of Christian offerings. That's the menu. And the Lord's Day is the first day of the week, so it has to influence the entire week that follows. And that makes sense, doesn't it? When you start the week in the house of the Lord and what you hear and how you worship on that day, it will influence the rest of the week. And that's exactly what the Heidelberg Catechism lays out. That every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. Let the Lord work in me through His Spirit and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Isaiah 58 is helpful here on how we are to observe the Lord's Day. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way, not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast in the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, is a wonderful day. It's a day of rest and gladness, a day of joy and light, a day that we have to look forward to worship the Lord together. Oh, it's wonderful. And I'm so thankful that you all agree with me on this, that you agree not with me, but with the Lord on this. You agree with this, and you're here. I really am thankful for the good attendance of our church. I'm very thankful for the good giving of our church. I'm very thankful for the enthusiastic singing of our church. All of those things indicate a healthy obedience to the Word which says, with joy, let us draw water out of the wells of salvation. Truly, the Lord's Day is a delight. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this Word unto our hearts today. We thank You, Lord, for the Lord's Day. It is a sign. In the Old Testament, You said, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, is a sign. It is a sign to our community. It's a sign to our neighbors. It's a sign that this day is special. We don't mow our lawns on this day. We don't do regular things that we do other days on this day. It's a sign that this day is special. It's a day in which our neighbors see us get in the car and go to church. Or walk to church. Our neighbors see it. It's a sign that we belong to Jesus. And this is your day. And it's special for us. Lead and guide us, Lord, this day. Bring us back this evening as we hear your word again on the church's power. In Jesus' name, amen.